to the end. I read. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trait, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he took his garment and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Verse 9. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul at Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there will be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourself, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila with him. He had his hair cut off in Cenchreae, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scripture that Jesus is the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. We are continuing our quarter theme, which is the Acts of the Apostles. And today we are going to listen to a sermon titled, Speak, for I am with you. My name is Chidema Obala, and our preacher today is Brother Tope Adeniyi.
We thank the Lord for opportunity to fellowship with one another on the first day of March, and thank the Lord for how it has pleased him to again take us into his word. I would like us to particularly thank the Lord for taking us through the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Apostles. God has in mind that the Acts of the Apostles will not end in chapter 28, but it will continue with our own lives. How many of us believe that? Amen. It's an incomplete book because your chapter is yet to be added. My chapter must be added. That is, the apostles who are disciples of Jesus, who are trained, who are saved and trained to be able to establish the kingdom of God. They were such men and women that God had planned to extend the counsel of God. Thank you very much. Extend the counsel of God on earth while Jesus prepares to come. And so God's interest is that the Acts of the Apostles will include you and myself such a way that Christ works through us to accomplish his work on earth. And if we're going to accelerate the coming of the Lord, then each of his disciples, each believer, everyone that has been washed by the blood of Christ, must act the same passion, with the same tenacity that the apostles in the scriptures acted. So as we continue in the series of the study of the Acts of the Apostles, we will be trusting the Lord that God will help us, that we are going to go with a burning, with a passion, with a commission of what our responsibility shall be as we also live in our own Corinth, which is Lagos, Nigeria, Africa, and the world. Amen. Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you for your word has been coming to us as a church. Thank you for the peculiarity of this church, particularly because God has been sending a word as if sending to his missionaries. We're praying, O God, that your investment in our lives will bring forth great fruit, will cause us to dominate the earth with the gospel of the Lord. And as we hear you again this morning, let the voice of the Holy Spirit be very clear to our hearts. Let us respond accordingly. It is you that work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Please work in us both to will and to do, even as we hear your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Speak and do not be silent, for I am with you. The topic of this short message. As we have read in the Acts of the Apostles 18, we saw a few things that the Lord will bring into our heart as learning and as well as reminder on what shall be our responsibility as we follow the Lord. I first note that Paul was on his missionary journey, going from city to city. Now at this particular time, there are three characters in this study, in this chapter. And can you please remind me? Three missionary characters, or in fact four. Can we please remind? Brother Paul, Brother Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollo. Okay. Now, it's very interesting to note that Paul was moving from city to city preaching the gospel. And I noticed that the Lord in his message wanted to establish certain truths that will guide the New Testament believers in the future. So the Roman Empire then, whatever I think in Italy, they must have done one law or the other to ask all the Jews to leave. And so Aquila and his wife had to leave. And now they came to Corinth. Many times, some things happen politically or economically that might create some discomfort for God's people. But because God is all-wise and all-knowing, Romans 8:28 says that the Lord, he makes all things to work together for what? For good. Aquila and Priscilla were sent out because of the law of the Roman kingdom, that we don't want these Jews anymore here. Can you please go back to your country? They left. You see the word of God from where they were coming from. Somehow, the gospel had reached them. They left. Maybe when they were leaving, they thought, wow, what sort of life is this? We are going to start all over. All the things we have done for this country, now we are being sent away. But God, who wanted to establish another truth for his church, made them to meet Brother Paul. And as Brother Paul met with them, the first thing that the Lord made me to see in this scripture was the fact that Brother Paul, who is a full-time preacher, what did we notice he started doing? He joined Aquila and Priscilla to start making tents. He became tent makers with them. He turned to a bivocational minister, isn't it? Such a way that as he was preaching on Sabbath day, what was he doing on the weekday? Tent making. I don't know whether it occurs to you that as he was making tents, he was also selling. So, factory was present. It was technically sound enough to know how to produce. He was also, and being a preacher, he was also had very good marketing skills to do what? Oh, we don't understand. Do you think he can make tents and people will just come and buy anyhow? No. He had to combine all the skills. Persuasive skills, quality assurance skills, such a way that everything that he makes is very good. And then, he also needs to know marketing skills, to know adequate pricing. What pricing will make this thing continue to be profitable and to be sustainable? Don't mind me. You know, sometimes you just need to think. When the scripture say a word or a sentence, you have to think in the context of the entire value chain. Because a tent maker, or when the Bible says he joined Priscilla and Aquila, they were making tents. It was his trade. Paul originally, don't forget, what was his original training and profession? A lawyer. Trained under Gamaliel. Trained in Tarsus. A city that is not an ordinary one. It's like trained in Harvard. Harvard Law School. Under the best professor of law. But as a side skill, he also had learned tent making. Now, it became very important for him now to start tent making service with Priscilla and Aquila. These two brethren were one of the best couple in the scripture because they used their home to expand the kingdom of God. They started getting an encouragement that, okay, God has not forgotten professionals in his work and in the ministry. Paul decided to donate Sunday to Friday to be doing tent making with Priscilla and Aquila and devoted Sabbath to teach in the synagogue. So Priscilla and Aquila realized that actually God has a place for professionals in expanding the kingdom of God. Amen. Are we following? That was how bivocational ministry was established in the scripture, that it is not only the people who preach full time on the pulpit that God wants to use to expand the kingdom, God wants to use professionals. How many professionals are here? Those who are working day to day, almost everybody.
So God has included you and myself as the people that will be very instrumental in expanding the kingdom of God on earth. Are we together? Do we agree to that point? So Paul continued this work until Timothy and Silas arrived. And now he had more brethren, so he devoted himself to Monday to Sunday. You know, originally, Paul's assignment was to do every day of the week preaching the gospel. But in order for God to allow him to establish a principle that will outlast it, that in the many years to come, there will be so many believers and disciples that will be brought to the kingdom, and they will be working in the secular way, yet they will be extending and expanding the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, how many tribes do we have in Israel? 12. How many tribes was dedicated to serve at the tabernacle 24/7? 1. So whereas God has 12 tribes. 12 tribes in Israel. Only one out of the 12 will devote himself or herself to pulpit ministry 24/7. The remaining 11 will extend the kingdom of God through their professional life. Hello? That was what the kingdom agenda had always been. The kingdom agenda is that the whole world shall be saved. God doesn't want the death of a sinner, but all men to be saved through the gospel of Christ. But the strategic plan of God is that there will be a pulpit 24/7 servant who will be giving direction, who will continue to supply resource, spiritual resource, guidance, admonition, empowering other disciples in the 11 tribes. And the 11 tribes will go everywhere in the marketplace, everywhere in their contact point, spreading the gospel through their life and their witness. Spreading the gospel by speaking the word of God and by their personal life and character until the entire world receives a witness that Jesus died and rose for all of us. And then the end will come. It can never be the job of the pulpit full-time ministers only. They can only do 1 over 11. Can we please do a percentage of 1 over 12, please? What does it sound like? 8%. So the job of the full-time preachers, no matter how wonderful they are, is 8% of the gospel. Who does the remaining 92%? Please, can you point to the person? Who will do the remaining 92%? Please, turn to somebody else around here. Who will do the remaining 92%? Human. Hallelujah. So this scripture first established the fact that the intention of God is that as he raises disciples, they will go everywhere expanding the kingdom. They will turn all their services, all their platforms, to be able to extend the gospel of the kingdom. So everything that I do, everything that I live on, every work I do, even if I've retired, there's a place for me. Every work I'm doing, every organization I work, any opportunity God gives me, is meant to be a platform to extend and expand the kingdom of God. Amen. And so, Brother Paul continued to preach the gospel. I saw another truth there that the Lord also establishes through this passage. As he continued to talk to the Jews, after a while, the Jews continued to argue, and they were not very happy with him. And they pushed back, and they almost frustrated Brother Paul. And he looked as if Brother Paul should quit talking to them. In fact, Brother Paul felt so discouraged that he said, from now on, your blood is what? It's on you. Amen. I don't think Brother Paul needed to say that. Forgive me. Don't say that. Why are you condemning Brother Paul? He was a brother too. Hallelujah. I think he just got to that point where he said, look, I am tired of you. I have been preaching every day, but you are not listening. Just for us also remember, as we preach the gospel, we get to some situation where the people we are talking to about the Lord just frustrate you and make you feel as if you are just wasting your time. They will frustrate you with all sorts of things. Do not be discouraged. There is another life that will be ripe for the harvest. Amen. So, Brother Paul said, I'm going now to the Gentiles. Yes, actually. God's intention is that when one is not ready, go to the next. Sorry? Are we together? I preached to Mr. A, and it's been difficult. I should not be discouraged. What is God actually telling me? Go to Mr. B. There is always a ready harvest per unit time. When one is proving resistance to the gospel, it's not a reason to be discouraged. Actually, it's a signal. There is a life very nearby that will hear the gospel and receive it. Hallelujah. So Paul turned to the Gentiles. And he found a brother or he found a man to live with. I love Brother Paul. He taught us a lot of things. He established the principle of identification in mission. When he was ready to preach to the Gentiles, he packed his luggage. He left Aquila and Priscilla, and he went to go and live with this brother, who was a Gentile. In other words, if those people had been seeing him only with the Jewish team, they might be thinking that Christianity is actually synonymous to what? Judaism. He said, no. We are all equal under God. And he moved his things and he went to go and stay with his brother. Before you know it, that young man became saved. In fact, a ruler of the synagogue next door, who was actually a Jew, also saw this life and got converted. The Jews that brought forth thought that they will no longer believe and their blood is on them. What has started happening to them now? So those people who seem to resist the gospel, don't hate them. Those people say your blood shall be upon you. Hallelujah. As we are learning from Brother Paul, we also learn the things that we should not do actually. Amen. Don't say your blood will be upon you. It won't be upon them. They will come back to the gospel. Just next door, the Jew, a ruler of a synagogue, not even the members that were currently with Brother Paul, not members, the ruler of the synagogue, saw the life of Brother Paul, saw how Jesus Christ was helping other people with him, he repented, and he joined the team of the believers. So the people who seemingly persecute us today, very soon they will join us again. So please, before they join us, don't curse them. How easy for us to just say, wow, all of these ones that have persecuted us, by the grace of God, you will not see 2021. If they don't see 2021, how would they be saved? Hallelujah. I remember, as a student, you know, sometimes we receive wrong teachings. We receive wrong teaching. May the Lord deliver us from heresy in Jesus' name. One of my friends came to me at the time and said, "Okay, let us pray. Let us agree. There's a lecturer that is frustrating me. He's sad. He's a non-believer. Let's pray now." And he quoted the scripture with me. It says 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7. May the Lord recompense those who act against you according unto the day of the Lord. So it is the will of God for us to cast serious recompensation of the Lord upon this man. Let him die. Ah. So I said, excuse me, sir, brother, hold on. Open your eyes. Let's talk. Why should this lecturer die? He said, because he frustrated me. He wanted me to fail. I said, no. What I have learned in the scripture is that even those who frustrate you, bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. We should not curse this man. Let us pray that the Lord will encounter him and let him repent. He said, no. Thank God I didn't join that prayer. Amen. Inside me, I was praying for his repentance. Interestingly, 2-3 years later, the lecturer repented. The lecturer became a professor and became a preacher of the gospel till today. Hallelujah. Those who persecuted us today, don't worry. Pray for them, but move to the next. Because they will join us tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Do we know that Boko Haram and X-Men will not be the last story? We have in few years' time, by the grace of God, that several of them had come to Jesus. You will be alive to see. I thought you said a bigger amen. So we are not going to call fire for them to just die. We're going to trust the Lord. As we move, of course, we'll run away. When they are chasing us, we'll run away to the side that is ripe for harvest. But very soon, they will be converted in the name of Jesus. So that Jew returned back. Jews started getting converted again. I saw another truth there. As most souls were getting to the Lord, then at night, the Lord sent a word to Brother Paul, which is the word we'll be dwelling on before we close. And the Lord said to Brother Paul, It's as if God was saying to Rapport, did you see the drama that just happened to you in the last couple of weeks? Say, yes, Lord, I'm learning. Did you see when you were discouraged because of a persecutor? Say, yes, I'm learning. Did you see as you move to the Gentiles what I'm doing? Say, yes, Lord. Did you see this young man, the ruler of the synagogue next door, has repented? What will likely happen when the ruler of the synagogue repents? Many people will do what? We follow. Say, yes, Lord. Said God. Now, my son, do not be silent. Speak more. For I have many people in this country, in this city. I am with you. Speak more with boldness. So the Lord sent a word to Brother Paul. He said, speak more. Speak on. Keep on preaching the gospel. Do not be silent. It is not time to be silent. It is not time to keep quiet. It is not time to sit down. Speak more. I have many more people to bring to repentance in this city. And I hear the Lord saying to us as well, speak more the gospel. Say it louder, much more than ever. For I am with you. That's very comforting. The basis of our continuous preaching of the gospel is because He is with us. Hallelujah. Yoruba proverb says, "Eni to run initial and beru, akin beru eni ti au jesi." How do I translate it? You fear and honor the sender of a message, not to the receiver. In another word, honor belongs to the sender. Take that message and deliver accordingly to everyone that He sent us to. I hear the Lord say, "For I am with you." Amen. Can we say to our neighbor, the Lord said, I am with you. Speak. Don't be silent. Say it again. Thank you. The Lord said, He is with you. Speak. There was a young man that the Lord said something like that to in Judges chapter 6. That was Gideon. When Gideon was tending the farm, and suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And he was afraid. And then he said, no, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Go. Go. Thou, a man of a mighty valor. You are a man of mighty valor. You are a mighty man. A man of mighty valor. He didn't look at himself. How can I be a mighty person when we are all running away from our enemies? The Lord said, I am with you. Go. Go and speak. And Gideon rose and went to destroy his father's idols and started speaking to Israel, return to God and let us take possession of this land again. And the Lord was with him. So the Lord also spoke to Paul. I am with you. Speak. Don't be silent in this land. Why should Paul not be silent? Because God has many souls to be saved here. Why should God tell Paul not to be silent? Because silence is not golden. It's not golden at all in the midst of iniquity. There are situations where silence is golden. Silence is golden when we are in a situation where responding looks like confrontation on matters, and we are quiet to wait for the Holy Spirit to tell us what to do. Silence is golden when there is a need for being patient in order for us to know what the Holy Spirit wants us to respond with. But when we are confronting sinners, unrighteousness, iniquity in our environment, silence is not good. Silence actually means I am an accomplice. Silence simply means I support the iniquity. Silence is as good as the perpetrator. Silence is as good as the person who is carrying out the works of iniquity. So God said to Paul, speak, don't be silent. Corinth then was filled with immorality. Corinth then was filled with all sorts of lust that people marry their father's wives or their father's concubines. Oh, you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, one of the letters of Brother Paul, I was talking about some of them who are very carnal. Corinth was filled with all sorts of evil, all sorts of compromises, corruption. So Brother Paul was admonished by the Lord, speak and don't be silent. because the iniquity is much great. And if you are quiet and silent at this time, many will be lost, and people will continue in the way of unrighteousness. Why then are you here? Why then did I send you here? When there is pitch darkness and light has come, the light must also make an effect. I also hear the Lord saying to us as a church, we are in a very peculiar time when we must not be quiet. We must speak the word of God in our environment. We must not be silent. Those who are silent might be because they are very timid. If we are silent at this time, it means that we are timid. It means we are actually saying that iniquity, the kingdom of darkness, is okay to have an upper hand. No. Actually, the Spirit of God is upon us, and He lives with us, and He lives in us. And there is no need for us to be silent, but for us to speak the word of God to everyone that requires the gospel. Who are we addressing? So, Brother Paul began to address different categories. He was going from one to the other. And there are several people that Brother Paul met, which we will not have time to look into. But let's look at application in our own lives. As God is saying to us that do not be silent, He's saying to us that take advantage of every area and domain that the Lord has posted you to speak the gospel. Take advantage of every opportunity the Lord has given us to preach the gospel of Christ. Maybe you are a teacher in school. As you are on that platform to teach mathematics, physics, and chemistry, also remember, those souls, they require the gospel. When it is not the during break time, call that notorious boy or notorious girl. Present the way of victory, the gospel of the cross. In fact, do you know you can do three extramural classes? Hallelujah. While other teachers might be doing it to make money, do it to preach the gospel. After teaching mathematics or English, introduce the gospel. After all, it is free. Everyone that comes to that class, we actually receive whatever the teacher presents. Do we know that the same way we do private coaching, math and English, we can be doing free coaching, math and English, plus the gospel? Is it possible? Yes. Using your platform, not to remain silent in the face of iniquity. Excuse me, sir, Ama. If we don't preach, Naira Marley will continue to preach. How many of you know Naira Marley? Okay, maybe the grandma and the grandpa and the old people. They do. Oh, the alternative to the preaching of the gospel is the Malian message. And the Malian message will continue to increase when the gospel continues to recede. Why will it dominate the land and the social media? Because you and I have stopped preaching the gospel. When we are not loud, when we are silent, once we are silent, darkness will continue to be louder and louder. There's no other way. There's no other way. There is a fierce battle. The battle between righteousness and unrighteousness. If righteousness keeps quiet, unrighteousness will have a field day. Young people will be shredded into the kingdom of hell. The danger is that even when things change for them and some of them will repent, if they have stayed long, too long, inside iniquity, their lives would have been deformed. There are certain things that are difficult to reverse. Some would have injured themselves, and even when they repent in the future, they may not be useful to the Lord or to themselves. Can we rescue the perishing while their lives matter the most? That's why I want to charge the church. Do not be silent. Do not be quiet. Whether it's to school, even if you don't work in a school, do we know that we can go and adopt a school? There are public schools all around us. You can adopt a school. It might be a location course you want us to be taking the children. Through that, preach the gospel. There are many schools in Lagos Island, all over the Lekki. In fact, there was a school I have about, and they have about 2,000 pupils, but there are no instructors in the Word of God. IRS teachers are absent. Enough IRS teachers. And 70% dominated by pupils who are meant to be Christians. What is happening right now? The people have no leadership. Nobody to guide them in the Word of God. Because you and I We sit and we are silent. May God arouse us no longer to be silent in the name of Jesus. In the marketplace where we walk, speak, don't be silent. We send the gospel of the cross. Silence is not golden. It's the gospel. Maybe you are a grandma or a grandpa. Maybe you have already retired and said, I no longer work. I no longer have so much energy to do things. In your home, start children and teenagers club. Call the neighborhood young people. Teach them the truth that will help them. Hallelujah. You have a big compound. You have a big premise. What is it meant for? To be honest with you, you and the family members, what is this total square meter that we can occupy in our house? Hello? The tallest man is about 7 feet tall, isn't it? What of the width? Maybe another 3 feet if it's big. Multiply the two together. What's that? I want to quickly teach us how to do square meter calculation. That's 21 square meter. And you are 10 in the house. 21 square meter multiplied by 10. 210 square meter. Plus other free space that will require to move around. Increase it by 50%. That's 300 square meter estimate. Now, you have a 1,200 square meter in your home and compound. The remaining 900, what are we going to do with it? Actually, by way of finance, it's depreciating without impact. If you want to look at it based on finance, it's lying fallow, no rent, no lease, no income. Ha, brothers, sisters, why would that value continue to waste away when God has provided it? Dedicate the remaining 800 square meters to run teenagers club, to run children club, to run good news club, to run extramural classes, employ young people who will teach them, and after they have taught them, teach the gospel. Is that not a wise idea? Don't let your home lie fallow. Don't let your resources lie fallow. Don't let the things that God has given to you lie fallow. Don't let it be empty. Think. Innovate for the gospel. The same way you strategize for business, marketing plan, marketing strategy. The same way we innovate for different things. Can you prayerfully innovate to extend the gospel? It is when it comes to the gospel, you say, I'm still praying. But when you want to launch a new product to the market, you are not still praying. Should we talk to ourselves? Give me 3 more minutes. When we are about to launch a new product, in 1-2 weeks, we enter into a strategic meeting. And we pray, or we finish the product in 2 weeks. But when we want to go and launch a strategy that will reach out, we are praying for 1 year. We are praying for 2 years. Say, brother, how far would this thing, the vision you showed me the other time, I am still praying. The greatest product on earth, the gospel, you are still praying. Meanwhile, the products that are very simple and very easy to do, you have done it in 2 weeks. And I pray for the church today that, Lord, will cause us to change our paradigm. Knowing that the greatest gospel, the greatest product on earth is the gospel. The same way you innovate on your normal product on health, can you kneel down in 2 to 3 weeks, come up with strategy to expand the kingdom in your domain? There is no single one here. Most of us are graduates, in fact, with PhD, several things, several skills that we have learned. God gives us, God enables us to have these skills in order for us to be able to extend the gospel. Do not sit down and be thinking and say, I'm still praying. How long will you pray? Arise. Speak the word of God. Do not be silent. Whether in the marketplace, whether in your home, whether in your professional platform, use everything God has given you to preach the gospel. I was a young man. I'm still young. Hallelujah. When I was younger, a missionary came. Oh, you know, I had our brother or auntie talk about, yes, our brother when he was praying, was talking about a particular leprosy mission. African. There was an SIM mission also. It's the same. Okay. Many years, yes, in Kwara State, that had a leprosy mission. Near my village. I never went there that time. But the good news was that a missionary, a woman, came all the way from America. She saw a vision of Africa that would be blood washed. And God is showing her Nigeria. So she traveled down. She left her boyfriend. because that one was not ready to go for mission. I said, so, excuse me, if you are not going to follow me for mission, I'm sorry. I cannot wait. So the woman traveled down, I think early 60s. And I do not know why she did not choose the popular place like Jos, Lagos, or other beautiful place. And maybe the Holy Spirit led her. Of course, it's not maybe. It's the Holy Spirit that led her to my village, my hometown. And she came there. And she did not live in the town. She went to go and live in a leprosy mission ground that Ekwa, Esahem, has put together. It's still there, over 40, 50 years. So all lepers in Nigeria, they normally rehabilitated them there and gave them the gospel. So that's where the woman was living. So in the evening, was helping the lepers or fellowshipping with the people there. In the day, will come to my school to preach the gospel. That's how I was caught. This woman caught me in my early years and presented the gospel. She will bring fruit. She will bring free items. She will give to us. She will speak English, the one we can understand, the one we could understand, the one we could not understand. She used all her heart. You will see love coming out of this woman, Betty Lasha. Interestingly, she's still alive, 92. She was using everything in her heart to warm us to the gospel. So one day, I listened to this woman. Let's give it a try. She's talking so much about Jesus that can change our lives. Okay, Mama, I will give my life to Christ. I thought it was a joke. Everything changed about my life. The Holy Spirit transformed me completely. I became a new man. I was the set 19th or 20th year of our ministry in that college. So, she labored for over 22 years and then left the school and then went to, I think, Philippines to continue again in her 60s. And then continue again until about maybe around 80 to return back to America. I called her 2 years ago. She was still able to pick. So yes, in government secondary school. I said, wow, this woman, you have done such a great work that no heaven will not forget, eternity will not forget. If you had not come, I do not know what I would be selling today. Maybe I would be the one discipling Aramalia, helping him to be able to go everywhere to confuse young people. Maybe if you had not come, I would have used my mouth to raise more problematic people that will cause society to be damaged. But thank you for coming. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for giving all your resources in order to labor for people that will not pay you back. She did not even go to people that can give honorarium. She did not even go to people that can say thank you. She came to people like us who did not even know the value of what she was carrying until we grew up and began to see that great was the message of this proclaimer that brought us the gospel. Can I say to you, brother? Can I say to you, sister? Silence is not good enough. Speak the gospel. Preach the word. Do not be quiet at this time. Let there be no one who will say, there is nothing I can do. No, sir. No, ma. That woman, a young woman, what did she have? She only had Jesus. She left her comfort zone. She went. She stepped forward. Interestingly, a few years later, I was reading biography of David Oyedepo. He mentioned the same woman that led him to Christ in 1969. I said, God, in between that woman and my life, maybe 20-something years, now I do not know how many preachers, how many servants, how many professionals that God has saved through this woman because she refused to be quiet. Do not be silent, ma. Do not be silent, sir. Speak the word of God. It will save so many lives. You have a platform that has a lot of young people. Don't keep quiet. Don't say, well, this is not an office. See, I'm not saying you should be preaching during office time, but there is always a TGI here. There is always a 6 p.m. after the day. Invite somebody. Take them out for lunch. Take young people out for lunch. Take them for dinner. Begin the word of God. When people want to recruit into cultism, they create strategies to recruit them. Who is wiser between a cultist and a preacher? We should be the wiser one. He who preaches the gospel is wise. He that winneth his soul. Proverbs 11. The wise person. So can I say to us, church, let's arise. Let's not be quiet. In every endeavor, in every opportunity and platform we have, let's extend the gospel to the souls that are waiting for us, to the souls that are thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, the kingdom of God will be expanded. Many lives will be saved. 20 years time, you will hear another testimony. it will be you that will be testified about. The act of the apostles will be extended to cover your story. May he cover your story. May he cover my story. As we close this morning, the charge the Lord is giving to us is, he has many more people in this land. Speak the word of God. There are many more millions he has. Young, old, elderly, he has many more. Therefore, speak the word of God and don't be quiet. Shall we pray together? And as we pray, maybe this morning, you are here in the congregation. You have also received the word of God, but you have not taken a decision for the Lord. Can you act like Crispus, who, having heard the gospel, he received Jesus into his heart as his Savior? Maybe you are here this morning, you have backslidden into sin. You are no longer living following Jesus. What a great day to return back to the Savior. The Lord is waiting for you to be saved. And as we pray, he will save your soul. As we close our eyes in prayer, you have not given your life to Christ. You want your life also to be useful to the Lord, but you are not yet saved. And you are willing to receive Christ as your Savior this morning. Please lift your hands to the Lord, and I will pray together. And if you have also backslidden, for now you want to return back to the Lord, you want your life to begin to count for God, you want to return back from sin unto the Lord, please also raise your hand to him, and we'll pray together. For God is merciful, is willing to save our soul. God bless you. And as we pray, God bless you, lift that hand to the Lord. Lift this hand to the Lord. It's unto the Lord you are lifting. Let the ushers quickly go there as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray with me. Those brethren lifting their hands to the Lord, just pray with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for you died for me. I am sorry for my backsliding. I am sorry for my life of sin. I surrender my heart to you this morning. Save my soul and make me wash in the blood of Jesus. From today, I dedicate my heart to you. I will live for you, and my life will count for you in righteousness. My life will count for you in righteousness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And for all of us, Lord, we pray, from today, the greatest product on health is the gospel. And the platform to spread the gospel you have given to us. May we respond as Brother Paul responded. We will not be quiet. We will not be silent. We will not hold our peace at this time. We will speak the word of God. We will preach in season and out of season until the land under our own influence comes to the Lord, until souls are saved and people come to him in preparation of eternity. Thank you because you will help us, that we are not going to waste our precious time and resources. We are going to devote all to preach the gospel, to speak the word of God, and Jesus will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.